Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I dive into a specific topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. Hang on, we need to rewrite this. Okay. All right. Here we go. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I dive into a specific topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. Today, I'm talking about one of the biggest pain points among dietitians: money. Join any RD Facebook group and you'll see the posts. Dietitians feel stressed about money. They feel underpaid and undervalued, and they're questioning their decision to be in this field in the first place. So this episode is long overdue. Let's go. I have been putting off this episode for so long. Money is such a big pain point for dietitians. Again, join literally any dietitian Facebook group and you'll see a never-ending collection of posts about salary, income, and pay concerns. This is a big reason why many dietitian coaches pull on that particular pain point. The really successful ones promise you that they're going to help you earn all the money you could ever dream of having. It's a smart marketing strategy for two reasons. One, dietitians are pretty frugal and hesitant to invest in themselves. And two, dietitians feel horrifically underpaid and want to change that, so these coaches can more easily convince us RDs to invest in their services by promising a solid ROI in the form of five-figure launches and six-figure annual or even monthly profits. I made a very conscious decision not to talk about money in my marketing and in my support for dietitians from the start. Now, in this episode, I'm going to ask you to challenge your beliefs about money and to think about money and your challenges in different ways. That does not mean that I think it's wrong to want to make a lot of money or that these coaches are wrong for targeting a pain point of money in their own business models. We are a field primarily of women, historically female, and it's no secret that women are still underpaid compared to men. So empowering us to assert ourselves, believe in our worth, and advocate to get paid what we deserve, yes, that's awesome. I also understand that having enough money is important, and paying bills and student loans and everything are basic needs that we must meet. So as I challenge you in this episode, I want you to know that I'm not blind to those concerns or opposed to financial goals. I hear you. It's rather that in a lot of ways, money is a distraction. I liken it to dieting and weight loss from a weight-inclusive lens. When someone comes to me and says they want to lose weight, even though I'm a weight-inclusive RD, I don't tell them, wow, that's dumb, it doesn't work, and it's not necessary to be healthy, right? What do I say? What do? I listen. I seek to understand. I recognize that we live in a system that does award significant benefit and privilege to people in smaller bodies, and that people have many valid reasons for wanting to lose weight. But it isn't really the weight itself that they value. It's what weight loss has come to represent for them. So what is it that really matters to them? I can't speak for everyone, but often with the clients I work with, They want to feel accepted by society. They want to have an easier time shopping for clothes. They want fewer aches, pains, and medications. They want their doctors to take them seriously. They want to feel sexy and confident. They want to stop feeling out of control of food, or to enjoy movement, or move without pain, or without losing their breath. Their core value isn't to be skinny. Their core value is something else entirely, but whether it's accurate or not, they've come to believe that being skinny or thinner, if not outright quote-unquote skinny, whatever that actually means, is the only or best way to get there. Weight loss seems like it's their pain point, but it's often much deeper than that. Money for dietitians is the same. When a dietitian client comes to me complaining about not making enough money, I also don't say to them, "Wow, that's dumb. You're missing the point entirely." And to be clear, I don't think that in my head either. Again, I recognize that we live in a capitalist society. And because of that, people with the most money have the most benefits, privilege, freedom, and influence. Just as people have very valid reasons in a fatphobic society for wanting to lose weight, we have very valid reasons in a capitalist, consumeristic society for wanting more money. Money isn't actually the thing that we want. We want something else that we have associated with having more money. Maybe we want more material things, or we want the freedom that comes with not stressing. I think about this a lot when it comes to wedding planning. I would actually love wedding planning if I were super wealthy, or at least I think I would. Not because I want some extravagant, over-the-top wedding that costs $100,000 or more, but because I could design the wedding that I do want without having to constantly check the budget and try to move things around to make it work. Money can help us provide for our families or show love to people we care about. It can allow us to live out other values and passions of ours, like traveling or working fewer hours to spend more time with our kids or buying a bigger house with a backyard for our dogs to run around in or whatever. Again, we have core values and we believe that we need more money to get there. I'm not saying that logic is wrong. The same way it isn't wrong in our current society for someone in a larger body to believe that losing weight will genuinely improve their life and help them achieve their deeper goals. Because when we live in a fatphobic society, people do treat you better if you're in a smaller body. It is easier to get quality medical care, and so much more. And when we live in a consumerist, capitalist society, yes, money can allow us to live out our values more fully too. But not always. We have to take the blinders off, get out of the tunnel vision that we're stuck in. If money linearly always equals happiness, and you're so focused on making more money that you lose sight of the bigger picture, right? You forget that it's not money that you're after. It's happiness. And we often make ourselves miserable and stressed and discontent in the process. We essentially create a scarcity mindset for ourselves. And we know from intuitive eating and weight-inclusive approaches that scarcity mindsets make it really, really hard to achieve our goals. When your relationship with money is full of resentment and deprivation, when you hold on to money because you're afraid of losing it, so you never spend it, never invest it in yourself, when you basically view money as being scarce, you don't have enough of it, you're always looking for more of it, then you set your brain up for the scarcity mindset. This belief that we need to hoard as much money as we can, that we aren't enough as we are, and that we can't be happy until we have more of it. We are at risk of putting off our lives and happiness because we're so focused on what we don't have that we forget about all that we do. Now I need to pause here and acknowledge something that is often missed in the intuitive eating space. And that's that sometimes we adopt a scarcity mindset not because of our shitty society that teaches us to place excessive value on things like money and body size and whatever, but because we genuinely don't have enough. Food security and financial security are real issues, and I do not take them lightly. Someone who has experienced food insecurity or struggles with consistent, sufficient access to food is going to have an innate scarcity mindset as a survival mechanism. And simply telling them to, quote, think happy, abundant thoughts isn't going to make the trauma of their reality go away. Similarly, someone who has experienced financial insecurity may also be essentially stuck in survival mode. Genuinely struggling to make ends meet, being saddled with debt, whether that's school loans or medical bills or something else entirely, those things can create for you a scarcity mindset that no amount of positive thinking is going to erase. It's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You have to have your basic needs met before you can progress up the pyramid. And money is required to satisfy those basic needs. Research has consistently shown that money does buy happiness, but only up to a certain extent. Once you have enough money to satisfy your basic needs, then money no longer is associated with increased happiness or life satisfaction. I'm not here to judge your situation or make sweeping assumptions about your life or circumstances. If your salary as a dietitian is not covering your basic needs, then that is a problem. No human working full-time hours should be struggling to make ends meet, period. And the fact that we live in a country where that is a reality for many, many people is a disgrace. I am, however, going to go out on a limb and say that the majority of the dietitians I work with and speak to are not in that situation. Are they rolling in money? No. Are they living with as many freedoms and luxuries as they'd like? No. But they're comfortable. And if your basic needs are being met, I want to challenge you to focus less on what you don't have and more on what you do. I want you to practice gratitude and abundance. If it feels phony and cheesy, keep going. It feels weird at first because guess what? Capitalism teaches us to never be satisfied, to constantly want more, to always be thinking about what we don't have. It's how our entire system functions, and we've internalized that. It isn't bad to have goals and aspirations, and it also isn't bad for those goals or aspirations to involve a higher degree of freedom or luxuries. If you want a super fancy house or a car or yacht or a vacation home or a purse or phone, go for it. But when that's all you focus on, when all you see is the green grass on the other side of the fence, it's really hard to enjoy the process of getting there. And we wind up sacrificing a lot at the expense of our goals. I know a lot of dietitians aren't into the hippie manifestation stuff, but gratitude and mindfulness have been shown consistently to have benefit for our overall well-being and life satisfaction. So I really encourage you to take time to get clear on what's actually important to you. I talked about this a lot at the end of February when I shared that I was likely dropping out of grad school. I personally realized that money and material possessions are not high values for me. I'm ambitious and I want my business to do well, but if it never makes six figures, I'm fine with that. Yes, I want more financial freedom than I currently have. Yes, I want to save more. I want to live in a house that has more than one bedroom, please. And I want to be able to provide for my hopefully future family. But when I was crunching numbers on my ideal budget, I realized that I didn't need to make 10K in gross profits every month to live comfortably. And if that means I don't have to work quite so hard and I can spend more time being present in my current life, then I'm happy with that. Maybe you're not, and that's okay. But know that about yourself. Know what's actually important to you rather than blindly following the goals of the people around you or the society that you live in. When I do values work with my dietitian clients, I have yet to have money and material values come up on top. And they're the ones leading the entire session and activity, so I can assure you I'm not leading them with questions or steering them in a direction I think is quote unquote right. I have zero interest in making an army of dietitian clones of myself, but so often I do think we default to following others rather than getting clear on our own individual identities and priorities. And a lot of times my clients will include some tangible items in their description of their ideal life, a certain type of house, for example. But when we go through and really dig into them, they realize that they might be nice, but but they're not their top priorities. Because you didn't become a dietitian to make money. I know some dietitians get very frustrated when people remind them of this, because you also didn't become a dietitian to get saddled with school loans and work in overly demanding, stressful environments and feel stressed about money. But what are you really frustrated with? The structure of education requirements for dietitians and how exclusive and expensive our training is, those are separate issues. Please advocate for change in these areas. We need to rethink how we train future generations of dietitians to make it more inclusive. What if we didn't require a master's degree? Or our education system wasn't so expensive? What if the internship was paid rather than costing a tuition? What if our books cost less? What if you didn't have so much debt? These are problems in our system, both in dietetics and with the U.S. education model in general. Speak up on these issues if they're important to you, but they are not unique to being a dietitian. Plenty of professions don't pay well enough to compensate for the expense of the degrees that they require. And the culture of work in our society also has to change. So if you're resentful because you're working a job you hate, or maybe you used to love it but it's beating you into the ground, then yes, speak up about that too. That's also not unique to our field. Burnout in the healthcare field is particularly at an all-time high. Every single paper in grad school that I could get away with it, I wrote about it. Medical residents, pharmacists, nurses, dietitians, all of us. And if you expand that to other professions, again, we're all overworking because in a capitalist society, we don't value rest. We value bottom lines. So efficiency is prioritized over employee well-being. A living wage for many Americans doesn't exist. And yes, it teaches us to always want more things. Get loud about these issues, but again, they are not unique to being a dietitian. I often hear the argument that no other healthcare profession is as underpaid as we are. While we may certainly be at the lower end of the spectrum, I will say that in my studying clinical mental health counseling, it's the exact same situation. To become a mental health counselor, you're required to pay for 7 years of school. 7. 4 years of undergraduate plus 3 years graduate. Some of the schools I looked at for my master's were over $100,000 for tuition alone. And the average salary of a mental health counselor in New Jersey, which is an area where cost of living and therefore pay tend to be on the higher end, $40,000. Now, in private practice, that number goes up to $100,000 pretty easily, but it isn't true that we're the only ones who are underpaid. Partly it's a values issue by society. We're still fighting for better reimbursement rates as dietitians, and because insurance drives so much of our society, that is partly holding us back. So we can advocate for better coverage, which elevates our status on the interdisciplinary team. Also, as I mentioned before, we are historically a female-driven field. And we are newer than the nursing profession, though we are hardly a quote-unquote new profession. So maybe we can learn from nursing, which is also a historically, though decreasingly so, but a historically female field. Instead of complaining that nurses get paid better, what can we learn from them to try to improve our situation? In other words, we need to funnel our frustration into a healthy, productive outlet. Venting in echo chambers full of other dietitians might feel validating, but it does little to improve our situation if you're dissatisfied by it. The biggest impact I've seen is that it has deterred people from entering the field altogether. People passionate about nutrition and helping people are choosing completely different professions because they are following a fear of money over their passion. And again, if they decide that their passion is helping people and they can be happy helping people in a different profession that pays better, then that may very well be a phenomenal decision for them to make. But if they know that their passion is specific to nutrition and they are compromising on their passions and values out of a fear of money scarcity, then we are losing valuable individuals. Why did you become a dietitian? It wasn't to make money. Yes, you have to pay your bills. Yes, you're allowed to be passionate about dietetics and also want more material luxuries or financial freedoms. but you didn't say my number one priority is to be rich, so let me be a dietitian. I also fear that in our enthusiasm for quote-unquote charging what we're worth and focusing on our own wealth, we are jeopardizing the accessibility of our services. I never liked the business coach mantra that people will always shell out large sums of money if they want something badly enough. While that is often the case, and while I often find dietitians severely undercharging for their services in the private practice space, there are people out there who need our help who genuinely cannot afford us. I know that because I worked in a community setting, and in my private practice, I don't yet take insurance. And even with an introductory discount, some of my former clients couldn't afford to continue working with me. That doesn't mean settle for your current pay grade and swallow your debt and shut your mouth. It doesn't mean charge less than what you're worth. It means don't lose sight of your passion and values in the process of advocating for yourself and others in our field. It means get really honest with yourself, particularly if you're in private practice, of who you might be leaving behind when you raise your prices. And consider building in practices and policies and boundaries that allow you to continue helping those who can't afford your full price. In other words, if money isn't your sole value or priority, why are you letting it consume you? So what can we do about our situation? Let's take a few moments to recap. First, get clear on your values. Why does money feel so important to you? What does it represent for you? And how can you at least in part focus on non-monetary ways to manifest those values and feelings right now, regardless of your salary? Try to reframe thoughts of scarcity to thoughts of gratitude, abundance, and mindfulness. Second, remind yourself of why you became a dietitian. Maybe this means reevaluating if dietetics is in fact right for you, or if the area in which you're currently practicing is working for you. If you're not happy, it may not only be about the money. Is it the company you work for, the specialization you're focusing on, the population you're serving, the work schedule? What aspects of your professional life, in other words, that have nothing or little to do with money, might be impacting your life satisfaction? Third, get loud, but in productive spaces. Advocate for systemic and institutional change to make our education more accessible and affordable, to make living wages a reality and reduce cost of living down from absurd levels. Advocate for better working conditions and the value of rest, rather than always focusing on ROI and the bottom line at the expense of human workers' well-being. Fourth, something that I didn't touch on as much today, advocate for yourself too. Learn how to negotiate your salary and assert your value. Learn how to charge what you're worth. But lastly, fifth, don't leave out our most vulnerable populations in the process. Know that some organizations will not have the funds to pay you six figures, but they may allow you to reach so many people who could benefit from your services. Or if you're in private practice, decide how many pro bono or sliding scale cases you can take on. Health is a privilege in this country, and we have an ethical responsibility to change that as much as possible. We can't do it alone, but our business models and practices, our professional decisions, can be a few pieces of the puzzle. In short, the next time you feel frustrated about how much or how little money you make as a dietitian, the next time you see someone posting on Facebook about how fed up they are with the pay, take a deep breath. Remember the reasons you became a dietitian. Tap back into what's important to you. Give yourself permission to want freedoms and luxuries that in a capitalist society money can't afford you, without letting your drive for more money consume every fiber of your being. We all value different things, and we all have different histories and relationships with money. But there is one thing I can say universally with full certainty. There is always more to life than a bigger paycheck. You were put on this planet to do more than pay your bills and buy nice things. Don't forget that.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you enjoy these episodes, it would mean the world to me if you could share it with your dietitian friends. And if you listen on Apple Music, leave a rating and review. This helps the podcast reach more dietitians so that we can really create a collective of dietitians who feel confident and connected both to their work and each other. You are not alone. And as always, if you're looking for that extra level of support, check out my Empowering Dietitians Supervision Services at www.empoweringdietitians.com/supervision.